Well, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Genesis chapter 28, when Jacob is fleeing from his brother Esau, he has an encounter with God out in the wilderness. And he falls asleep, he lays his head on a stone, and that's where the whole Jacob ladder experience happened, when God came to him and angels ministered to him. And when he woke up the next day and God assured him of his safety and he would take care of him, he anointed this stone with oil and he changed the name of the place to Bethel, house of God. And he said, this is an awesome place. Surely this is the house of God, the gateway to heaven. But some decades later, in chapter 35 of Genesis, he goes back to Bethel, changes the name from Bethel, house of God, to El Bethel, the God of the house of God. But he has a similar experience. He went there, God told him to go there and build an altar. When he goes there, it says in verse 9, and then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram, and he blessed him. And God said to him, Your name is Jacob, but you'll no longer be called Jacob. But Israel shall be your name. And thus he called him Israel. And God also said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you. And the king shall come forth from you. And the land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac I will give to you. And I will give the land to your descendants after you. And the God went up from him in that place where he had spoken to him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured out a libation on it, and he poured oil on it. So Jacob named the place where God had spoken with him Bethel. Again, it was already Bethel. He just reaffirmed it and actually calls it El Bethel. If you study through like the book of Leviticus and Numbers, where it talks about the different sacrifices and offerings. And all throughout the Old Testament, one of the dominant offerings was the meal offering and the libation offering. They always went together. And in the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, there was always the meal offering and the libation offering. And then really every other burnt offering, except for a couple, the libation offering was a part of it. An libation offering was just basically a certain amount of wine that was poured out or put in a cup. And the idea was it was wine offered to God as a sacrifice that would bring gladness to his heart. It was symbolic. And the meal offering was just bread or flour, mixture of flour, and it was an act of worship. But even in the Old Testament, the wine being offered afterwards was the meant that the worship was never meant to just be a duty, always to be an expression of love to God that would bring adoration or bring joy and gladness to his heart. And that's why really every other offering, they would have the libation part of it, is that it was a prophetic sign to them that these were never meant to be sacrifices of duty or just dead ritual. They were always meant to be expressions of love to God, expressions that were intended to bring gladness to his heart. In that passage from Genesis 35, where he's in the same place, some people think it's in the exact same place where he encountered God in Genesis 28. He has this stone again, this pillar, and he sets it up as a memorial. He doesn't just put oil on it, and oil means it's like a shrine, it's like an anointed memorial. From his experience in Genesis 28, what he was saying was, I encountered God here. And I want to honor him, and I want this to be a memorial here that I have encountered God. So that every person who would see this or come across this or would know about this, maybe they might encounter God too. This would be a place for them to encounter him. It would be a sign that God encounters people. But the Genesis 35 passage is the first place in Scripture, way before the laws of Moses, where the libation offering is offered. We have no record of God giving anybody instruction about it. We have no record of God speaking to Jacob about it. It's just something that he did. And wine throughout Scripture speaks of a lot of things, But primarily it speaks of first love poured out joyfully. The joy of first love. And first love is not something that's chronological. It doesn't mean, well, that's when you first fell in love. It's that when you first fell in love that's maintained all your life that grows. It's an extravagant kind of expression of love, an extravagant fascination of love with God. That was a real burden in the church in Ephesus. They were doing a lot of right things. They were going through all the motions. They did all the duty right. They had doctrine right. Everybody showed up to church, but they had lost first love, which is what's the most important thing to God. It's the first and great commandment. You'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the point being is that this second time, these decades later, when Jacob encounters God in Bethel, before he anoints it as a memorial of an encounter, he first pours out this libation. It's an expression of love. And that this encounter invoked his heart not just to honor God, but to love God. And that he wanted this one to be a memorial forever to people of a life laid down in expressive, joy-filled love to God. That's different. And in the Old Testament, it's full of those kind of things, leaving altars, leaving pillars, leaving stones. And again, the point being is Jacob wanted people to know that someone here loved God. And that as a result of the evidence or the testimony of someone, the memorial, the act of someone who loved God, maybe you would encounter God yourself and worship him. That happens all the time when you and I meet Christians who just live a life of laid down love for God, and it causes you to want to worship God, not them, because you just encounter God in their life. You read stories about people or see a movie or go hear somebody speak who has an extravagant laid down love for God in their heart. They're lovers of God. They're lovesick lovers of God. And you encounter them, and then you hear testimonies about their life, sacrifices of love they've made for God throughout their life. And every time you read about that, it causes you to go, oh my gosh. And that's what Jacob was saying. And let me read this verse to you. This is Philippians chapter 2. And Paul says the same thing about himself in 2 Timothy 4:6. But he says, Philippians 2, even if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. When he talks about his life being poured out as a drink offering, that sounds sort of dismal. But he said, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. What Paul was saying is, my whole life is about being a drink offering. It's like poured out wine. My whole life is meant in everything that I do to be an expression of joy-filled love for God. And that really became Paul's testimony. That's what Paul said about himself. He was controlled by the love of Christ. That everything that he did and said was controlled by the love of Christ. I think a good prayer, I keep adding these things to my prayer stuff, is, God, I want my life to be poured out like a drink offering to you. And what years I have left, I would like to leave behind, not as an ego thing, but just memorials, pillars, just signs, testimony of someone who lived their life as a drink offering poured out to you. Poured out in sacrificial acts that came out of a joy-filled love for you. Not one of duty, but one of delight. Not just ritual, not just I'm doing it because I'm supposed to, not because I have to, this is what I'm required of me. But I wanted my life to be a drink offering, poured out. You see, he was speaking of these Philippians, and he said, the sacrifices that I've made for you, even this letter that I'm writing to you, isn't because I feel like I have to. It's because I joyfully have poured out my life as a drink offering to you. But the truth is, I pour out my life like a wine drink offering because I believe my poured out life, like a libation, brings gladness to the heart of God. That's a lovesick life. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.